Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. On the track, my car's look is everything. But today, I'm talking about more than just paint schemes. I'm talking about my favorite games at Chumba Casino. Check out exclusives like Stampede Fury and my own King Croc Fury. It's just as wild as my car looked in Texas. With over 200 games and new ones weekly, play for free at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hour number two, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game, brought to you by First Horizon, Big Bank Muscle, Small Bank Hustle. Visit firsthorizon.com/get it all. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keyes are here with you on this Monday morning. We'll be joined by Corey Curtis from News 2 for his weekly visit coming up at 8 o'clock. And we'll get into some NFL free agency, which unofficially begins today. The legal tampering period opening up later today, Joe. And some moves already being made across the league for guys who have been released. We've seen trades in the NFL. So we've officially arrived to the busy portion of the NFL offseason. The question is, what are the Titans going to do? What's in store for the Titans over the next few days here as NFL free agency gets underway? Now, a big area that we've identified that is clearly a need for them is on the offensive line. And to begin the offseason, Joe, a couple of guys that we talked about were Trey Smith with Kansas City. Could the Titans pursue him? He has since been tagged by Kansas City, and they're continuing to try to work on a deal there. Ronnie Stanley, another guy that we threw out there of maybe an option from Baltimore that could come in and could play, I guess, left tackle. You could move Latham back over to the right. I guess you could put Ronnie Stanley at right tackle if you felt like Latham needed to be your left. Well, he's not going anywhere. He signed a three-year deal with Baltimore over the weekend. So that's the thing about NFL free agency. You can look at it on the surface in the offseason, and by the time it actually gets here, the options have dwindled quite a bit out there.
Yeah. It's like when we talked about Ronnie Stanley before, it was like, well, if Baltimore lets him go, it probably tells you a little something, right? Well, they didn't. So probably tells you that he's still pretty good.
Yeah.
but you also have no shot at him. So the free – The hopeful top of the list of the free agents on the offensive line turns out to be a fantasy top of the list.
Yeah, and by all accounts, this doesn't seem to be a great free agent class in general, even with those guys heading into it. So when you have some of your upper echelon offensive line options off the board, it leaves you asking, what's the rest of the week going to look like? Now, look, there's still guys out there that you can find. There are going to be some options that the Titans are going to sign an offensive lineman here at some point. I don't know who it's going to be.
Multiple.
I don't know if it's going to be like some huge deal or anything like that, but they're going to go sign some offensive linemen. So can you find the right ones that can come in and finally start to upgrade this thing that's been a problem for them for 3 years? Like, we're all going to focus in on quarterback, and I get it. It's going to be very interesting to see what the Titans do at the quarterback position here. But whether it's edge rusher, whether it's offensive line, how deep into the weeds of this wide receiver pool, which frankly is not all that impressive in free agency, do the Titans get? Do they sign somebody there? Like, there's still a lot of work left to be done. And as we discussed heading into this, and Mike Borgonzi, I thought at the NFL Combine, that was one thing I kind of took away from it that's meaningful. Like, I think they're going to be pretty active. I don't think they're necessarily going to break the bank for guys in free agency, but I think they're going to be pretty active in this free agency period. I think you kind of have to be when you have as many holes as they've got on the, really every single side of the football you want to think of, offensive, defensive, special teams. They could all use work.
Yeah. I mean, I'm looking at trying to keep up with our tracker in free agents, and, you know, you get into, I mean, offensive tackles. The way we at the Athletic tier it, you know, like you're going, I'm going down to tier three. There's some guards. Will Freeze,
yep,
is there as a as a potential answer. There's some some interior linemen, but man, like tackle, it's slim pickings all of a sudden, you know. And I mean, I think they have to sign. They have to sign at least one interior. There, you know, there's other guys like Ben Bredesen and things like that. Again, there's a lot of guards out there. Scherf is another guy. And again, you get into it's like, you know, these a lot of times these guys, you know their names. They've been in the league a long time, or, you know, at least a certain amount of time. And in a lot of cases, you know, are not as good. Yeah, tier five. This is how we describe tier five. Old guys who can still play but could retire at any time. And right there, you got your Morgan Moses.
Yeah.
At offensive tackle, Tyron Smith. My goodness, you're getting into some, you know, but you know, that's where you also can at times make some good value pickups. And the Titans, you know, it wouldn't be that hard to upgrade their offensive line. The question is, how much are they going to upgrade it?
Yeah, exactly. And does it get to the point where you can? Is there a scenario where you can get into the season this year and not just feel okay about your offensive line? Like, can you feel good about it? Is that conceivable with where they're at with it right now? Now, some of that's going to be how big of a step does Latham take from year one to year two, right? Like, is Skoronski and Latham, are do they kind of pick up where they left off last year and build on that pretty significantly? Like, for both of those guys, it was an up-and-down year. Like, I thought Skoronski kind of started the year pretty terribly, and then he got better as the year went on. Latham, I think, kind of started the opposite. Like, I thought he was pretty good. He was up and down. And then as the year went on, I thought he kind of got worse during the last few games. So, is that just hitting a rookie wall? I mean, we see that happen in the NFL. I still largely feel good about him.
Me
so,
too.
A big part of your answer is going to be, like, what are those two guys next year? But you've got to find a way for the right side of your offensive line in particular to not just be a total turnstile out there like it was for the majority of last season. And if you can't do that, then it doesn't really matter what else you do in free agency. It's going to be a tough go.
Yeah, you have to – I mean, you probably have to figure out something at center for early part of the season.
Yes.
You know, that's another real issue here. But I agree. It's like those two guys on the left side. And this is where – look, I think they're both talented. I definitely think – I'm with you. I mean, I'm definitely more optimistic about Latham right now. We've only had 1 year of him. It was some rookie ups and downs with a lot of issues around him. I feel pretty good about him. Maybe he's better on the right side. You know, I mean, I don't know. If you can get a true left tackle, get a tackle who has played that, you know, maybe you could experiment with that. But either way, he's got to be a big-time player. You know, Skoronski, I still think, can be, you know, a good starter for you. And that's essential. And, again, that's where, like, Bill Callahan – The impact has to be there. But I agree with the texter who says, though, today's goal is to fix the right side of the line, and yeah, you have to do whatever you can to try.
Well, it's interesting. We bring up offensive guard. So Pete Prisco for CBS Sports, who is a senior NFL columnist. Have we had him on the show? I can't remember if we had Prisco on the show or not.
Maybe.
A potential friend of the show. Put this out there yesterday. Said, word around the league is the guard market is going to be outrageous. Good players will be getting great player money. That's the danger of free agency. That's
sure
what Pete Prisco put out there.
Sure, of course. You're going to have to overpay. And I think that there is, as we've talked about, there's a little bit of a Titans tax in terms of just the fact that the Titans are bad. But, I think the Titans are going to be overpaying some people here. But that's okay, you know. If you overpay, if you have a, you know, whatever, tier four guy and you pay tier two money, you know, if it's a good player, if he gives you what you're hoping he gives you, then that's what it is. That's what has to happen. You overpay in free agency. What you want to do is draft good players and then keep them, but they're not in that position right now.
They are not. So
not in very many positions at all.
They're not. So what would you like to see the Titans do in NFL free agency? We'll take your thoughts on that. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. 615-737-1025. More coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, the game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road, live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. NFL free agency going down this week. What do you want to see the Titans do in free agency? Taking your thoughts on that, 615-737-1025. Let's head to our 1025 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in Larry to the program. Larry, good morning. Thanks for calling in.
Hey, guys. How are you guys doing today?
Good, Larry.
Great.
All right. My suggestions are, now listen, I'm just an armchair quarterback here. go get Josh Sweat and get one of those quarterbacks, get a Mac Jones, get a Justin Fields, get one of those guys. Listen, as a longtime Cubs fan, you know, when we were rebuilding in 11, 12, 13, we had early draft picks. That's what the Titans ain't going to win the Super Bowl next year. The whole ultimate goal of this thing is to win the Super Bowl. So go take one of those quarterbacks, have them and Levis play it out. Whoever one is the best one, have them go out there. And you try to get a Super Bowl contender. Just winning 5-6 games, that doesn't do nothing for you, but kick the ball down the can there a little bit.
Thanks for the call, Larry. Appreciate it. So Larry embracing the idea of the tank there at the quarterback position. What do you make of the other idea throughout there of Josh Sweat? Titans do need to do something at edge rusher. I'm sure some of it's going to come in the draft, but what do you make of the idea that you threw out there of Josh Sweat?
Tier one. Josh Sweat, tier one. He's going to get paid a lot of money and more than he's worth, but he's a good player. And look, I mean, I'm kind of the mind of, yeah, spend money, you know? I think I'll be very interested to see what the market is for him. Obviously, a tremendous postseason run. Love his sack celebration. Good to very good player. Might get paid like a great player. Do you want to pay him like a great player? I mean, look, you need edges.
I mean, you
need edges for sure. Now, the draft is a good – that's one place the draft is good. What else are you looking at? Khalil Mack?
Joey Bosa?
He's out there. Yeah, like to me, Joey Bosa – actually had this little argument with Brennan, and I'm like, have you noticed that he barely plays anymore because he's always hurt? I mean, I understand he used to be amazing, but, like, this is the type of player you avoid. Malcolm Kuntz. You got Chase Young. We've talked about him. Yeah. You know, I was a little bit surprised to see the Lions. If you're going to take the Lions fight song, you know, what about Big Z? Lions let Big Z go. Big Z's been talked about here in other years as a possibility.
I think he is like contractually obligated to play in Chicago now to finish out the NFC North tour that he's on.
He's been
in Green Bay. He's been in Minnesota. He's been in Detroit. Just finish it off.
Gosh, I forgot he had been in Minnesota. Yeah, that does make sense. Reddick is out there. I mean, you know, a lot of guys. DeMarcus Lawrence is out there, but you know, it's a lot of, again, it's like names that of players who once were great, and then this league chips away at you.
There's an idea out there that Joey Bosa may end up in San Francisco. Obviously, his brother plays there, so that's where the idea originates from. But apparently, he's keen on that idea, and also the Miami Dolphins could be on the Joey Bosa list there. So
okay. Yeah, I just, man, it's hard to believe at this point that he's going to get past all the injury stuff.
Josh Sweat, like you said, he's a good player. The last 3 years for him, he had 11 sacks in 2022. He had 6.5 in 2023, 8 last year in 2024. Now, the thing about him is he's pretty durable, man. Like, he plays a lot. Like, he's played 17 games in 23. He played 16 games this past year, 16 games the year before. Like, he's a durable guy, and as you said, had a really good run there in the postseason. So I'm interested to see what he ends up. Like, that's a spot where if I'm the Titans right now, I don't mind overpaying a little bit because you're kind of desperate in that spot. I know that they're going to, whether it's Abdul Carter or somebody else, at some point, they're going to draft an edge rusher in the draft. So I understand that. I think you need both. I think you need to draft somebody, and you need to go out and be fairly aggressive on the edge rusher front in the market this offseason.
Yeah, I mean, especially letting Harold Landry go. Like, whatever you think about Harold Landry, I mean, sure, ideally, you know, he could have been your third guy, you know, but he's not there. You need depth. You need everything.
Well, it's part of the strategy of letting him go because they have a guy or two in mind in particular in free agency that they're going to move heaven and earth to go get.
Could be. And maybe they will be. You know, I know there's a lot of, you know, you'll hear, you know, like Kaharski will be in this week. And every year there's all this, don't get the guys at the top. That's where it really gets crazy with the overpaying. You know, you go a little bit deeper down the list of the free agents and you can still get good players. You can do, you know, the one-year deals. Kaharski talked about this with the Commanders. The ton of 1 year deals last year, they rebuilt the team. They hit on a bunch of them. You know, they had a tremendous pick up a bunch of kind of guys up the scrap heap and they got good seasons out of a ton of them, you know? So that's, That's a strategy I think the Titans will employ. I think it makes sense, but that doesn't mean to me that you just dismiss the idea of a Josh Sweat. If you can get a player like that, you're going to pay a ton, but you are better. You have a guy who is a proven pass rusher in the NFL. Right now, you don't have that.
I got one texter asking about Von Miller. So Von Miller got cut from the Bills in a cost-saving move. He's 35. He will be 36 in like 2 weeks. Von Miller, first off, I don't think he would have any interest in coming here. That's just me. Like, to me, if Von Miller is going to continue to play, he's probably ring chasing.
Again, unless somebody gives him insane money, but that's not going to happen.
It's not going to happen at age 36. So I would not get your hopes up for Von Miller. And again, he's 36. You know, he got hurt in 2023, and it just did not go well for him that year. He actually, like, this past year, he played in, let's see here, 13 games. He had 6 sacks. So for a 35-year-old, that's not bad. It just, Von Miller's best days by far are behind him at this point. And I would assume that if he continues to play, it's going to be somewhere where he feels like, you know, he can be a part of the rotation and can come in and help a team potentially win a championship.
Yeah. Yeah. It's at this point, it's just, you know, like, do you really want to do that? Yeah. Unless there's some insane difference in pay. You really want to do that and go 6-11 at this point in your life? Probably not.
Probably not.
Texter brings up a good point about that caller. The old kicking the ball down the can. I was like, I have never heard it. So he's kicking the ball down the can.
Hard to do.
Interesting. I get what you were saying.
Hey, sometimes you got to kick the ball down the can.
But I'm glad someone else made fun of him, and I'm just reading it, okay?
I got somebody saying that we shouldn't lie to ourselves that we don't want another Kentucky player. Okay, I guess we hate all Kentucky players now. Who was the Kentucky player that we were discussing?
Yeah, who is that?
We've gone through a lot of names. I don't remember the Kentucky player we discussed.
Yeah, I don't either. Who are we referencing here?
But, hey, if you could find a Kentucky player that, you know, is a good football player, I'll take him if you're the Titans. I have no qualms about taking Kentucky players.
Not at all. Well, I mean, Avery Williamson was a nice player here, right?
Yeah.
So there's one.
There you go.
I'll take the
– the latest Kentucky player they took did not work out great in Will Levis, but
– not yet. I would take the slot receiver whose name eludes me who plays for the Giants.
Oh, God, what is his name?
Good player.
I mean, I could see his face in front of me. How am I forgetting his name?
Wait, Barron? No.
It's not that.
Oh, God. You can't have senior moments. I already have senior moments.
You know any names we've thrown out there today?
I know. Grant on the YouTube chat, by the way, says that a Colts reporter, not sure who, but says the Titans are going to be going after Freeze heavily.
Okay.
So, there you go. I think, yeah, that makes sense. For sure. I think the Titans, I mean, I'd like to see the Titans sign. I'd like to see the Titans get 3 offensive line. Now, remember.
By the way, it's Wandale Robinson.
Thank you.
Good Lord.
Oh, yeah, he plays for them now. Yeah, Wandale, great player. I mean, not great player, very good player. Kentucky player I would have on my team for sure. But, you know, remember this with the Titans. If they, you know, again, if they're going, there is an order to these things, right, typically.
Yep.
And, yeah, Woodyard is another good one right there, Kentucky player. But there's an order to these things, so we may be waiting a little bit.
Could
if
be.
The Titans are dipping a little bit deeper into the pool of offensive linemen. But I'd like to see them sign at least 3 offensive linemen during free agency.
I would love to know how quickly is it going to happen with the quarterbacks. Like, how quickly this week is Sam Darnold going to find his next landing spot? The Rodgers situation, who, you know, apparently he's now in with the Giants, the Vikings, and the Steelers. So we'll see what happens on that front. And apparently the Seahawks, too. Like, everybody wants a part of Aaron Rodgers now. So we'll see what that looks like, where he ends up. But when that starts to go, like, how quickly does the quarterback market kind of fall in line here? Like, is Kirk Cousins gonna? Is something gonna happen with Kirk Cousins? He's just remaining in Atlanta as the backup.
Well, there's something where we were wrong about. Charles was wrong about. I mean, he actually went to meet with the owner, like, please, I want to leave, and they're like, no, actually, you're a good backup. I guess that's what they're doing. They're paying a ton for him to be a backup, but it looks like, I guess that's what they're doing.
I still find that hard to believe.
I do, too. But, like, the fact that he, like, basically pleaded to, like, Arthur, please meet me for coffee. Please let me leave. I'm like, wow, they're actually going to keep him around at that rate to be their backup. I mean, look, if you think about it, you know, obviously Penix overtook him. But if Cousins was that banged up last year and they actually think he's a better player than that, now you – I mean, you do have two viable options. You have actual depth of the position.
Yeah.
So maybe that's what it's going
to
be.
Kirk, we need you to go get coffee for Michael Penix today.
Yeah. Kirk, you're a donut guy today.
615-737-1025, our phone number. A lot more of your thoughts to get to on the NFL free agency front. We'll have the Rex Rant with Joe Rexroad at 745. Corey Curtis at 8 o'clock. All that ahead. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 the game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 the game. Taking your thoughts, our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Jordan Rainin, who covers the Giants for ESPN NFL Nation, putting this out there a couple minutes ago. As of Sunday evening, the Giants waiting on Aaron Rodgers. He was assessing all of his options with the negotiating window opening today at noon. That's Eastern time. Rodgers expected to talk with the Seahawks and the Steelers also being an option. Apparently the Giants just waiting on Aaron Rodgers to make a decision.
Yeah, interesting. You know, the Jets thing is interesting too. It's like the reporting is like the Jets are interested in Justin Fields, but like then he's talking with the Steelers. You know, I guess I can see the Jets, you know, trying to take a flyer there on him. The Steelers, I don't know. When you make these moves, you're gonna end up just putting it in his hands. Is the idea him and a rookie that you draft? To me, it's like when you get Metcalf, you have to give him a quarterback.
I think Rodgers makes a lot of sense for the Steelers.
Yeah,
I understand he's 41. But I think given where they're at right now in that division, you got those two guys at wide receiver, I think he makes a lot of sense for them. Now, if I'm him, if I'm Rodgers and Minnesota is truly a realistic option, which I don't know if it is or if it isn't, but if it's a realistic option, that would probably be my first choice, and then Pittsburgh would be in at number two. Like, I get it's the Giants. They do have Malik Nabers, so you feel good about that. But, like, to me, the reason that he would want to go play for the Giants is because I guess he likes New York and he doesn't want to leave New York. Like, look, he was apparently, according to reports, like, pleading for the Jets to not release him. So that tells me he likes living in that area, I guess. I don't know what other reason there would be, because I would probably be like, please, for the love of God, cut me. I'll go anywhere else right now. But apparently that's not how he viewed it.
Yeah, I mean, he can still live there. You know, you don't have to play football anymore. Yeah, I don't know why. I don't know what the appeal would be. It's just hard for me to see the Giants, the way the Commanders, and obviously the Eagles, the way the Commanders have now come on, and the Cowboys are still really talented. Like you are clearly fourth of four in that division right now. And if you're realistic with yourself and you're Aaron Rodgers, you don't change the math on that.
I'm interested to see. What it kind of feels like right now that the quarterback market's kind of waiting on him, right? And if the Giants are waiting on him, the Steelers are talking to him, the Seahawks are talking to him, like it kind of feels like the Rodgers domino has to fall, and then everybody else is gonna, I guess, fill in after that.
Yeah,
speaks to the level of this quarterback class and free agency.
I think Darnold too. Like again, there's certainly the possibility that team could be like, actually, we want to try to do a few years with Darnold, so he also could, I guess, be that same factor. Like what teams are still? I mean, Darnold, I think is still, you would have to think, could be possible for the Steelers. There's definitely a lot of talk about the Seahawks.
Yeah,
is there talk about Seahawks and Rodgers?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, so I guess if one of the two make a move.
Yeah.
And at least now you can rule that team out. And, you know, I'm obviously Rodgers wasn't that long ago. Like he was the absolute bell of the ball. And, you know, again, we're sitting here. So, again, I'm looking at Schefter here. You know, Rodgers, QB option of the Steelers. Also, team continuing talks with Russell Wilson and Justin Fields.
Yeah. The Steelers are speaking with every quarterback.
Yeah. And I don't know, like, if I'm DK Metcalf, I mean, look, you know, the Russ, I mean, that's the thing, too. Like, Fields, like, if you're going to keep one of those guys, don't you keep the guy who actually has a lot of chemistry built up over years with DK Metcalf?
You would think.
I mean, I don't know if you invited him to his birthday party, but he threw a lot of passes to him.
DK Metcalf may just be like, hey,
anyone
you guys
but Russ.
Please not sign Russell Wilson? I have no idea.
It could be.
It could be. Buck Rising threw it out there earlier this morning. A couple names he's hearing that the Titans could be interested in on the quarterback front: Zach Wilson and Mac Jones. Been a lot of reaction to that so far today on our text line. Joe, when you hear that, your thoughts on what that could mean, and if that's the way the Titans go with one of those two guys, how do you read into that in terms of what it means for them moving forward?
The Zach Mac attack. Get them both. Keep Levis. Probably and just good. Have, like, it would be like they could be, those three guys could actually, like the old SNL thing at the club, you know, doing like, "What is love? Baby, don't hurt me." Those three out on the town in Nashville, it could be pretty amazing.
It'd be a heck of some preseason games coming up.
Yeah, dominant.
Go three deep with those guys.
Right. Yeah, seriously. Like, all of a sudden, it's like, oh, it's the fourth quarter. It's, guess what? Here comes Zach Wilson. Have some. Yeah, it's like, obviously, if in all seriousness, if you're a Titans fan that hears that and you're freaked out, I don't blame you. Mike Herndon is talking himself into Zach Wilson.
He is.
Meanwhile, you know, you got people on Twitter telling us that we're dumb because it's obvious that they're just signing them as a backup. And that this would clearly signal that they're drafting, you know, Cam Ward number one. Maybe that's true.
Okay.
And that's the thing. Like, if let's say that they sign one of those guys this week, then it really does become, so you are drafting a quarterback? or what? And you know what? It's not the is it the craziest thing in the world? I mean, I would take Mac Jones of those two, based on what I know. Mac Jones, you talked about earlier on the show, he's had a good season in the NFL. He was promising as a rookie. It went downhill. It's not all his fault. It may not be primarily his fault. Probably isn't. How much of it, though, is? I mean, I think at this point, it's not super encouraging.
No.
But I would still take him over Zach Wilson. I don't see the Zach Wilson appeal from what I've seen. I maybe I'm missing something here. I don't see it.
No, I mean, like I said earlier, like I think you'd have to really convince yourself that the Jets screwed him up, right? Like, isn't that what it would be? Like, you would convince yourself that, well, it was the Jets and they're an absolute tire fire over there. And if you get him into our building, then you feel like you could coach him. And that maybe some of the stuff that's bad in his game and the decision-making, that you can work with that. I look at it, like, to me, and I know they're not exactly the same, but I kind of view Zach Wilson and Will Levis as, like, pretty similar guys in terms of there's a lot of arm talent there, but sometimes the decision-making makes you wonder if, like, you're watching the same sport that those guys are watching. Like, it's pretty similar from that regard.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, it's just and that's where it's like the idea, obviously, they're just saying to be a backup. Yeah. I think the safe game, again, Mason Rudolph, to me, he wasn't very good, but like he's kind of the template for a backup.
Yeah.
Like Jacoby Brissett would be
great backup.
That'd be a backup right now, right? Safe, you can put him in, pro, can run what you need. You might be able to cobble together a couple wins if your starter's hurt. Kyle from Clarksville asked about Tannehill. Has he retired? Is his name still out there floating around? Yeah, he hasn't retired. I mean, that may be coming.
He's done playing football.
Yeah, probably.
I'd be stunned if he's not done playing football.
Yeah. I mean, the fact that he hasn't retired, I guess, means that he's keeping it out there again another year where some contender loses their quarterback and he's – I mean, last year I thought if there was a situation that was right, he'd get a call, you know. But how many years can you keep doing that, you know? So, and again, if you're asking Kyle in relation to the Titans, that one blows my mind that anybody thinks he would ever come back here and play for this organization. He would absolutely not.
Hayden on the YouTube chat says, "I love how Robbie is prepping me for when the Titans sign Mac Jones, giving me some stats and hoping that he won't drive my car off a cliff." Don't do that.
Yeah, we're trying to keep you all safe out there.
I'm just pointing out that his rookie year, when you look at the numbers – was pretty good. And then it quickly after that deteriorated on Mac Jones.
He does have, unlike Zach Wilson, an extended stretch of competence at quarterback in the NFL. Top tier says I'd take either one as long as they're drafting Ward. Yeah, again, then but so is it possible they've had these visits now? Is Shadur in today?
I think it was originally yesterday. Supposed to be yesterday. I don't know what ended up happening.
But look, maybe the Titans in the building are like, Cam's a guy. That's it.
Maybe.
Drafting Cam. Love him. He is worth it. Taking him. Well, if that's the case, then frankly, what you do at veteran quarterback doesn't mean that much.
Yes.
But the problem is we don't know that. So there will be a total meltdown if they sign one of those guys. And I can't tell you you shouldn't melt down, but you're going to need to hope that that's the answer.
Well, that's going to be the immediate pivot, right? It's like, well, don't worry, guys. They're drafting Cam Ward, so it doesn't matter that they've just signed Zach Wilson to come in and be the quarterback.
And I don't know if that'll be true or not.
I don't know.
I also don't know if it's going to happen. Andrew throws a couple names out there.
Yeah, it doesn't mean that
everybody's
first
melting
off,
down.
And here's the other thing. Like, does somebody else out there view Mac Jones or Zach Wilson as somebody they want to target and bring in? And is that more appealing to a Zach Jones or a Zach Jones? Yeah, combine them both.
Yeah.
A Mac Jones or Zach Wilson. I don't know. We got to wait and see what happens on that front. But I just know that when those two names were thrown out there, my immediate reaction was, oh, God.
Yeah.
I don't know if I can do this for an entire season.
Oh, sounds really exciting. Texter says, just started listening. Have we just accepted the Titans aren't signing Darnold? Yeah, I mean, I think the ship is. But again, Kaharsky reported last week on this show and on his website. And, you know, I understand that Stilley had the fantasy fever dream that they were lying to him and they're actually really going to do it. And no, but PK's reporting was solid. Yeah, you can probably just wait and see which other team Sam Darnold signs with pretty soon here.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. 615-737-1025. We'll have the Rex Rant with Joe Rexroad coming up next. Corey Curtis from News 2 will be with us at 8 o'clock. All that ahead. Robbie and Rexroad, 1025-1063, the game.
Sometimes he wakes up on the wrong side of the bed. And sometimes he's just, well, Joe.
Awkward moment. Let's do it.
This is the Rex Rant, now on Robbie and Rex Road.
Two names I've heard about Titans interest, Zach Wilson and Mac Jones.
Boom. A mighty team that will not yield. That's going to become the Titans' new fight song. You must take it from the Lion. I try not to watch Zach Wilson, you know? I try not to.
We may have to.
It may be unavoidable very soon here in Nashville, Tennessee. Oh, see, there's me just yelling for no reason. Now I get it.
Uber guys.
Uber guy. Don't leave us, Uber guy. Uber guy, stay with us.
It is that time of the day. Time for the Rex Rant with Joe Rexroad. Check it out every morning here on the program. Joseph, the floor is yours.
Thank you. I think that the rants this week will be my little carve out my little moment for college basketball. So I got to talk about, first of all, shout out to Lipscomb. The Bisons are in the NCAA tournament. Congratulations to Lipscomb. Lipscomb. Boy, yeah, sometimes you miss an S, and that's not a good thing. Meanwhile, Belmont, unfortunately, gave Drake a real – you got to stop over there. God, these rants just – we need to get rid of the rant. Belmont gave Drake –
No, we don't. We need more
Really. Belmont gave Drake a great run in the semis. Did not get it done. Drake gets in. So I think that's – is that it on the – no, and Middle Tennessee's got a chance too in CUSA. But I want to talk real quickly about in-state rivalries and about pettiness because a couple great things happened this weekend in this regard, which is why I think that college basketball or college sports, you know, is unrivaled, but especially the in-state rivalry. First of all, I figured you'd have – you saved Izzo for this because I thought you might intro. Give me a little Tom Izzo from yesterday, just with no context, Tom Izzo.
You know, they shouldn't get mad if we're kissing our own ass if we're doing something down there. I don't get mad when they call me an angry midget. That don't bother me.
That was Tom Izzo yesterday after his Spartans beat the hated Michigan Wolverines. Unfortunately for the Big Ten, it wasn't for the championship. Michigan had already blown that. But Michigan State blew out Michigan, and they have this tradition which goes back 30 years to Sean Resper, like 30 freaking years ago, good Lord, where they kiss like center court, and it used to be a block S, now it's a Spartan head. That's what they do all senior day. They kiss, do a push-up basically on the floor, kiss the floor. That started with Sean Resper, great college basketball player 30 years ago. So yesterday, Michigan, a couple of their players, you know, and again, I don't think this was from like the coach, but a couple of their players decided to stand right on the logo. And so Trey Holloman of Michigan State finally goes in and starts shoving them out of the way, and they go back and forth, and like then they have the ceremony, and after Izzo's like, Trey, who's a junior, get out here and kiss the floor. No one messes with our tradition. So now we have all this crap. So these fan bases are now going, like Michigan State fans have gone through, and they've like found all of the other like free throws of the whole year and show that Michigan players never stand that far back. Like, look, you know, it's like. So this reminds me of Alabama-Auburn. Alabama-Auburn, incredible win for Alabama and at Auburn on Jahni Broome senior day, ruining 34 points for him. But Chad Baker-Mazzara, who is a great player, who is also a powder keg, elbow to the head of an Alabama player and gets ejected, and he should have been ejected. So now Alabama fans, it's all over Alabama Twitter. Or I'm sorry, Auburn fans all over Auburn Twitter finding every little moment of like someone throwing a little elbow, yeah. Little step. I mean, it's amazing. They're just going back and forth. Pure hatred, pure pettiness. It's hard to beat. So I want to say that. And by the way, on the Michigan State one again, the coach then Michigan coach Dusty May acts like he's like, well, are we not allowed to stand at half court? Is this not tradition? Again, I don't think he knew what his players were doing, but they were definitely doing it on purpose. And so now we have this beautiful just back and forth between these fan bases. It's hard to beat. And so it's a great way to launch us into this week.
Yeah. It's – first off, I'm a big fan of the in-state rivalry, all of them. Like, I think it's awesome. Tennessee Vanderbilt's awesome. Alabama Auburn, great stuff. Michigan State, I actually saw a lot of that game yesterday, and just the intensity level of those games is hard to recreate. Like when you've got the in-state rivalry there, I will say, like Bruce Pearl trying to go over and like police the crowd from throwing popcorn and whatever else they were throwing on the gym floor after that was pretty awesome.
Well, also did you
stop it, guys?
Yeah. Well, did you also see, you know, Nate Oates?
Yeah.
You know, Nate Oates goes over there, and the people are throwing stuff. The Alabama players are, you know, showing the jerseys and all that stuff, and he's over there, yeah, rah, rah.
Come on.
Yeah, just
throw more.
Talking so much trash. That's great. So I hope, let's see, I don't even know. I assume Alabama-Auburn probably couldn't. I assume, could they meet it before the final? Or I forget. I'm going to look at the bracket right now. I mean – Alabama Auburn, which of course split this year, both of them winning on each other's home courts, would be absolutely amazing.
It'd be the final.
It would be the final.
Yeah,
I mean it's a dream, and I understand Tennessee fans. You want, you know, we might see Auburn Tennessee Saturday. Yeah. That'd be fun. Tennessee would love another shot at Auburn, but just from a like, you know, these games, the Sunday championship games. If you have it on Sunday, it hardly ever affects the bracket. Auburn's already the outright champs, but if Auburn and Alabama played, the problem is they would beat the crap out of each other so much. Like I would bet up for both of them for early round exits if it gets to that. You know, like Auburn should seriously not show up this week. They should just like they lost two games last week. They're the number one overall seed still. They have the best resume, period, by far in the nation. Duke will be ranked number one. Doesn't mean anything. Auburn is the number one overall seed. But if we could get Auburn, Alabama on Sunday, like it actually would, like that would make it worthwhile, you know? Whereas normally I hate these Sunday championship games.
How many SEC teams are in at this exact moment, do you think, in tournament?
So, well, I have a bracket today.
Ooh.
And Texas is out, but I've got 13. I mean, Arkansas had a huge week. Oklahoma had a huge week. Georgia had a huge week. You know, Vanderbilt lost both games, but they're fine. They're still safe. So I've got 13. Now Oklahoma and Georgia play. I would not lose that game if I was one of those teams, especially if I'm Oklahoma. I would not lose that game to Georgia, the last game of the day Wednesday. But right now – and then Texas, which plays Vanderbilt, of course has to win that and then has to beat Texas A&M and then might have to beat Tennessee to get in the tournament. That would be the path. Sounds fun. It's a ridiculous league. And yeah, I mean it's gonna be awesome tournament, and there will be surprises.
We'll be joined by Corey Curtis from News 2 coming up next. We'll get his thoughts on the Titans and NFL free agency this week. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.